comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Things always work better when you turn the mics on. Sorry for that, folks. A little bit of pilot error. Hey, you know what? I'm glad you're here, and I know you're going to be glad you're here as well. I guarantee you this is going to be an interesting show. Always is. We've got a really interesting guest with us this evening, and he's been with us before, and I think you're really going to like it. So welcome to Talk Radio Like Nowhere Else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. And because you matter, and because I have received a number of requests lately via email, wanting to know when we're going to have another night of country western music, because, I don't know, something like around 23% of our audience like country western music. I've been adding those up, piling them up, waiting, and tonight's your night. So I hope you enjoy the country music that will play during the breaks. It is country music from the indie country music artists to be found at musicalley.com. Very special welcome to WPAZ tonight. We're glad to be a part of their family, a part of their lineup, and we want to welcome all of those who are listening via WPAZ in the Philly area. That it's a big area. It includes quite a number of towns, and we're delighted to be able to come to you via your very own WPAZ community radio. It is a big, powerful community radio station. It's not one of those little low-power stations. It covers quite an area. So, anyway, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here, and I hope you'll join us each and every night. I think you'll enjoy what we do here. Some months ago, there was something very odd that crashed against the mountains north of Fresno, California. Some people said, well, it's a UFO. Other people said, well, it's probably one of our secret military planes. Some people said, I don't believe it happened at all. Yeah, but the only thing is there's video of the attempt to get this thing off of the mountain. So, it happened. What it is, we don't know. Let me just say, for those of you that when I said UFO, you thought little green men, that's a personal problem. You need to get up to speed. UFO, for at least the past 50 years, has meant unidentified flying object. And that doesn't mean that it's extraterrestrial. It may be, but it may not be. It may be something that is, you know, part of the secret inventory of the U.S. military. UFO means unidentified flying object. Don't know what it is. It's up in the sky and it's moving. That's a UFO. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
She wanted one for each year gone by. She wanted a dozen.
trust him, but he just had his own way. She couldn't live with him. She couldn't live without him. The story's carved in stone today. She wanted a dozen red roses, one for each year gone by. She wanted a dozen red roses, the petals for each tear she cried. Lonely, dark, and cold is where love can't grow. The darkness where only hurt can survive. All the rivers of tears and the pain and hurt draw near, and the rose just withers and dies. She wanted a dozen red roses, one for each year gone by. She wanted a dozen red roses, the petals for each tear she cried. But he never told her, and now he'll just live with the pain. Her eyes told him, her arms long to hold him, but he'll never hurt her again.
Right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who tried to watch our TV channel last night know that we got hit pretty hard last night. I did a number of things with the software, did software upgrades on some things, plus I did some workarounds. And thus, although there should be no hitches in the radio show, those of you who are watching our television channel may notice a hitch or two along the way as I learn to use the new routines that we've installed to kind of get around some of that interference we had last night. My guest this evening, as I said, has been with us before. His name is Jeffrey Gonzalez. He is the founder and director of the Sanger Paranormal Society. Jeffrey, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thanks, Kevin. Nice to be back.
Jeffrey, at the top of the show, I was talking about how something very strange happened out north of Fresno, California.
Yeah.
A few months ago, something crashed against the side of the mountain out there, or at least made an unscheduled landing. And some people said, okay, that's a UFO. Other people think, oh, well, that's maybe some secret aircraft that the military has. And regardless of what it is, since we don't know what it is, it's unidentified.
Correct.
When did this happen?
August the 21st of last year.
August the 21st of last year. Shortly after that, you were on the show, and we were talking about it. We've shared little video snippets of the recovery efforts that were going on during the nighttime. The last time you were on, we shared aerial photographs, satellite photographs from Google of the area, and the area shows that there are some kind of ruins there, and that's what we talked about last time. And we can talk about that again tonight, but from a little different perspective, because you have provided for us video that I'll be showing on the TV channel. Those of you who do not, if you're not a member, you don't get our TV channel. You can find it on YouTube under Ancient Ruins North of Fresno. Let's go through that a little bit. You and somebody else, and you can tell us who, decided to hike up to the crash site, and tell us what happened and what you found.
Well, you know, with all the stuff that was going on north of Fresno, Justin is the person who witnessed the crash that happened that day with, you know, an unidentified flying object, what we call the triangle, basically. And one day we decided, you know what, there's just so much stuff going on out here. Let's just, on a Sunday, let's put our hiking boots on, our camis on, and let's just go walk. And just walk and see what we can find. Because, you know, there's so much area out there that you know, even if you're looking through Google Earth, you can only, you know, go down so far to see so close. So one morning, about 8 o'clock, we started, you know, just hiking and just walking all over the place for about 10 hours. And we came to a spot where Justin was looking through some binoculars, and he says, "What the heck is that?" And I said, "Where?" And he said, and he pointed over there, and I got my binoculars. I'm looking. And from the distance, we could see four large pylons sticking up behind a hill. And I said, "Whoa." And so right away, I had my iPhone on me, so I went to Google Earth real quick, and I went to that side, and I looked from above, and I said, "Oh, jeez, what is that?" You know, and it's kind of weird because it's not in an area where it's not secluded. I mean, there's houses around this area, which is really, really weird. So, you know, after I went to Google Earth and I saw all the stuff that was out there, you know, I went back to, you know, went home and I got on the internet and I started looking for historical landmarks and, you know, try to find out, okay, what is this out there? Because that location back in the days, that's where they used to mine for copper. And there's a lot of mines out there. So I figured, okay, maybe, you know, that those pylons were, oh, I don't know, some type of an enclosed area where, I don't know, they kept, you know, their mining equipment or something, I don't know. So, but I could not find anything at all in this location, not a single thing. So we took it upon ourselves, and I took my group, and I said, you know what, the only way we're going to find out what's over there is we need to get to that location. And one Sunday, you know, all of us, actually about four of us, decided to go to that spot. Now, we had to literally go across three property lines to get there. So we kind of like sort of were walking where we weren't supposed to be walking. And what's kind of funny is that we noticed people were coming out of their homes and they were looking at us, but they did not, you know, do anything. They were just keeping an eye on us. And, it, you know, I don't know if they thought maybe we were supposed to be there because we were invited by the neighbors, or maybe they just said, uh-oh, you know, there's some people going to that area. And I took my video camera, and I went to the location, and I shot some video of the location, and that's what you are watching on your channel and what I have on YouTube.
This video, I see a lot of interesting features in it. Some of it looks, it all looks old. Some of it looks ancient. Some of it just looks old. Right. But out there amongst these structures, we see these figures. They look like you described them last time as mannequins. Who did this? I mean, there are these mannequins out there in various poses and activities. Who did it?
I don't know. Maybe the... You know what? That is something that I cannot figure out. You know, if it's the owner, maybe he likes to work with art, and since that was on his property, he decided to mess around and make these mannequins and put them in different locations. I don't know. And what's weird, though, is when I showed this video to some people, they said, you know what, Jeff, you need to be careful. And I'm going, why? He goes, from what I understand, back in that area, there's a lot of cults, a lot of satanic rituals going on up in that area. And I said, oh. I go, well, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But, you know, that those mannequins, to me, they're not old. I mean, granted, they're from the century, but I think somebody is just having fun and placed those all over the place.
So what do you think these structures are, Jeff?
Well, the structures that you see on the video, there are different ones. The pylons, the large pylons are not old because they have rebar in them, okay? And some and on the floor where the columns stand, they also have rebar. So to me, that's not old. I think they built that when they were mining for copper. But what I think happened is when they were mining for copper is they uncovered some of this stuff by accident. And that's what is buried under all that dirt. I mean, the long wall that you see that's been uncovered, that's 300 feet long, but what's weird is that it doesn't end. It continues underneath, and it goes around that hill. My theory is that there's something underneath that hill where that house is on top of. When you see me walking up towards the very first of the video, I'm huffing and puffing, and I'm walking, and you see the structures, and in back of the structures, you see a hill with a house on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that wall is at the base of that hill, and I think that wall continues underneath that hill of dirt where the house is sitting on top. I think there's, and I'm just speculating here, but that wall, to me, looks like Inca Mayan type of work. And I have confirmation of that I want to tell you about. And that wall, I think, is not a wall. I think it's the base of a structure which goes into the hill. So I think there's other stuff in that hill that hasn't been uncovered yet.
All right, tell us about you said you have confirmation that it's some sort of Inca or Maya structure.
Yeah, well,
tell us about that.
I started calling all over the place trying to figure out what this was. For one thing, no one knows this exists out there. Okay, I contacted people in Fresno State University. I contacted them, and I showed them the video, and they told me, where is this? And I said, North Fresno. And they asked me, can you take me there? And I said, no, because from what I'm getting of this has got to have some historical value to it. I mean, you know, like I said, I've tried, the only ancient stuff that we have in Fresno is in Milliken Lake. It's called Fort Miller, and most of it's in a lake now, but some of the structures were actually moved into Fresno, but that's about the only historical type of old Civil War type of city or building that we have in Fresno. So when I
What would happen the instant you tell the university people where this is, or you take them there, automatically, instantly, it's going to become a restricted area.
Exactly.
You're not going to have access to it.
Exactly. Well, that's not. I mean, I continued on. After Fresno State, I contacted a very, very popular DJ here in Fresno, who's on talk radio, and he's the biggest Civil War buff that you would ever meet, and. At first I thought, okay, this has got to be Civil War stuff, like a bunker or something. So I sent him the YouTube link via Facebook, and he emailed me, and he says, you know what, that's not Civil War, because, you know, that's just, you don't find that type of stuff out in this area. And again, he wanted me, can you take me there? And I said, no. And then I decided, okay, let's go a little bit higher here. I contacted the Archaeology Department of California in Sacramento, and I talked to the assistant director there. His name is Bill Soule, on the phone, And as I had him on the phone, I said, Bill, I'm going to send you the link right now. And I sent him the link. And, you know, you can tell, he thought I was, whatever. Okay, I might have found something very small. But he was watching the video. All of a sudden, it came up to the structures, and he got quiet. And I said, Bill, what do you think it is? And I'm mostly interested in the long base wall that's buried. That's what I'm interested in. And he said, well, Jeff, I've been, in archaeology for 30 years, and Indian work is my specialty. And he goes, that's not Indian work. He goes, the stuff that you find in Indians in California are maybe at the most burial sites where there are rocks, nothing too extravagant, And I said, okay, well, then maybe could they have built that during the gold rush? And he said, no way. I said, okay, how about if they were mining for minerals, do you think they would have built that? And he says, Jeff, what I'm looking at on video right now looks like it took them years and years and years to build. And then he's looking at it, and he goes, all those rocks and stones were brought in from different areas. That just didn't happen overnight. And then again, he goes, where is this? And I said, north of Fresno. But what's weird is that he did not want anything to do with this. He told me, I go, Bill, who do I need to contact to find out what this stuff is? And then there was silence for a little bit, and he goes, maybe you need to contact the archaeology department in Mexico City. And I went, okay, now I'm getting close. Because, the people who've seen this video also told me that looks like old Inca Maya type of work. Because the way it slants and, the square edges are so precise, if you're mining for minerals or whatever, you're not going to take the time to do that. That took a lot of time measuring, and it's weird. And to this day, right now, no one can tell me what that is. And granted, a lot of people want to go to the site, but I'm not going to, divulge them the site, because it's I'm not done yet investigating it.
Did you contact the archaeologists in Mexico City?
No, I haven't found any good contacts.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found any good contact at all.
Why don't you contact Jaime Maussan?
I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, Jaime Maussan could put you in touch with whoever.
Do you have a number by any chance?
Yeah, I think I do. I'll look after the show. I used to have his number, and I think I still do, but we'll see after the show.
Okay. Awesome. But otherwise, we've been to the site a couple times, and that hill where the house is on top of, now, I pulled up, my buddy is a real estate agent. He pulled up the records on that land. And none of those structures are on the records. None of them. Okay. And the house sitting on that hill is also not on the property records. Now, this is where it gets interesting. When we first spotted that location through our binoculars the day we went hiking, I was looking around, and I looked under the hill. I saw the house. And at the house, they have trees on top. I noticed what looked to me like statues or stone type of pillars protruding out of the top of that hill. And I'm going, what? That doesn't look right, whatever that is up there. I just, why would an old house like that have these type of, stone structures coming out, around the yard? And now it's beginning to make sense to me that maybe that house is just a cover-up, and they built that house to cover whatever is protruding out of the ground.
So no one lives in this house, right?
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, the light comes on at a certain time every night, so we're going to have to get our behinds out there, and we're going to have to stake it out and see if it's on a timer.
Well, even if it's on a timer, it could be that someone lives there.
Sure.
So, you know, you got to be careful about that.
No, you're not.
Why not just walk up to the door and knock on the door?
I don't know. I just haven't done that yet. Maybe I will. Maybe he'll say, or just start yelling, get off my property. I don't know.
Yeah, just knock on the door. If somebody comes to the door, say, how do you do? My name is Sue. Just
you
make up something.
That's probably going to have to be our next thing that we're going to have to do.
Yeah. Wow. Now, I know you found something else up there. I don't want us to get into that till we come back from this break.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. We come back, folks, more revelation. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest, Jeffrey Gonzalez. Now, Jeffrey, these ruins that you found are fascinating, and we're going to come back to those. But you and your people found something else up on that mountain. What did you find?
The hill where that house lays on top of, on Google Earth, you can... When you go down and look on Google Earth, on the left-hand side of that hill, there are some openings, like holes, like entrances on the left-hand side. And I'm going, that looks weird. So one night we decided to head up there again, but this time at nighttime, and we went to that location. And sure as heck, it's a cave entrance, but it looked like it's been collapsed. On purpose. There is a hole about a foot by a foot radius, and you know you can barely stick your head in there. That was the first time we went, and so at that time, you know, my buddy Eddie, our producer, he stuck his camera in there and a flashlight, and he started, you know, recording and moving back and forth, and then we watched the video and we noticed that what to be of like man-made walls inside, but these stones or the, you know, the rocks were square, like a wall. But there's one or two particular big boulders that were huge. And I'm going, whoa, how in the heck did they put that in there? Or was that already in there? But the next time we went, which was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we decided to take some shovels and see if we can get in there any deeper. So we started digging, you know, when we're doing this at nighttime. and we finally got the hole a bit bigger. We got a lot of dirt out and got some rocks out, and I was able to, you know, stick now our arms a little bit deeper, and we recorded again what to be it's solid rock inside. I mean, even the ceiling, everything is rock, like a cave, you know. And there was also an old tin, very old tin, like 40s, 50s old tin, maybe even earlier than that, coming from, you know, the bottom and protruding out of the top of the hill, like for air. But there's so much dirt in there, it's like it actually covered the tin. Now, you know, we actually went to the top of the hill and looked down in it, but it's filled with dirt. So, you know, obviously it's covered now with dirt. So, you know, if it was used for air back then, it's not used for air anymore. But you can tell that they covered it. You know, they threw a bunch of dirt in there, and they wanted to basically hide it from the public. What's in there? I have no clue. But, like I said, you know, there's... something is telling me there's something in that hill, and I don't know if I'm, you know, going to be able to. I mean, we like to go back again and continue digging, But, you know, I don't know how long we can do that for, you know. But, you know, there's definitely something mysteriously happening down in that area. And like I said, you know, the reason why we decided to go walking, you know, for 10 hours that one Sunday is because there's been so many UFO activity around that site where what I'm calling the ancient structures. So many UFOs hovering, you know, off the ground doing their stuff. And it's like, okay, now it's sort of makes sense now. You know, wherever you have old ancient structures, pyramids all over the world, what do you have? UFO sightings.
All right, now let me ask you a question about inside this cave. You said that it's got square rocks for wall. Does this look like it's part of a very ancient construction, like the wall outside, or does it look more modern?
No, it looks old. It looks like the rock that I saw that is part of the wall. It's about 3 feet by 2 feet, you know, and it's square. So to me, right when I saw that, I'm going, you know, holy smokes, you know, pyramid, you know, type of wall that they would stack, you know, for an entrance of some type. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So, you know, I wish that the opening was a lot bigger, because I would go in there in a heartbeat. But there's just so much dirt in there that, you know, we're going to have to continue digging. I don't know how long we can dig until we find maybe there's that wall. Maybe they actually put the wall there to cover up the entrance, or that the wall is just the side of the entrance. I don't know.
Mm. What native tribes are known to have inhabited that area?
What, say that again?
What native tribes are known to have inhabited that area?
You know what? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you. But, you know, the people who have looked at those structures are telling me that's not Indian work, period. You know, and again, you know, California was part of Mexico back in the day. So, but it's, the Indians would not go to that much trouble to make something like that. And again, we're talking 1800s, 1700s, mm-hmm. you know, that type of Indians back then.
Now, so it's much more ancient than they.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to understand, all that was covered with dirt all the way to the top. So, you know, 300 years, 200 years is not going to cover all that. It's not.
Well, you certainly wouldn't think so.
No.
All right.
Not at all.
Let me tell you something that was said on this show. I cannot remember which guest said this, but we had a guest on this show during 2010 who told us about an Army, U.S. Army officer, who during World War II was sent along with his men to the Aleutian Islands. Now, a lot of people are not aware of the fact that the Aleutian Islands that are part of Alaska did get occupied by the Japanese during World War II, at least one of the islands. So when people say we've never had a foreign army occupy any part of the United States, that's not true. They did. Japan occupied that island during World War II. And so he and his group were sent to, as part of the force to drive the Japanese off of the Aleutian Islands. They found a mass grave, but it was very ancient. And it had a bunch of skulls, it had a bunch of skeletons, and it was very, very ancient. It was obviously not something the Japanese had done. So he took one of the skulls and he sent it to the Smithsonian and asked them to identify this. He got a letter back identifying it as Mayan. Interesting that it's a Mayan skull on the Aleutian Islands north of Alaska. Okay, after the war, he goes to the Smithsonian, and the, you know, their letter said, you know, it was preliminary, but they were, you know, preliminarily identifying this as Mayan. He goes to the Smithsonian to ask, you know, he figured there'd be some sort of display or something, and because he had written back to them and told them, you know, that there's a whole mass grave full of these guys up here in the Aleutian Islands. So he thought there'd be some sort of display. Right. And their response to him was, what skull?
Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. The idea that the Mayan may have built a structure up north of Fresno is certainly not out of line with, you know, the possibility of them being up there. If they were in the Aleutian Islands,
sure,
they certainly could have been north of Fresno. Well, they were. If they're in the Aleutian Islands, they're very north of Fresno. But they could have been in that area right there, just north of Fresno as well.
Yes. Now, my theory also, you know, over the years, you know, people have been noticed, witnessing just different types of crafts, like, you know, the triangle that crashed out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the triangle crashed, in a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, there was, you know, vehicles ascending onto the crash site. Okay, where did these vehicles come from? The crash site to where these structures are, you know, close. We're talking extremely close. Now, I think the military found something underground, and I think they seized it and they're utilizing it right now. That's what my theory is, because I have four families who have told me that they've seen on the other side of this mountain, not where the structures are at, but on the other side of the mountain, that they've seen, you know, helicopters land, army helicopters, and at nighttime, these weird crafts will come out of the valley, and it just they don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that while they were mining for copper or for whatever mineral, that they found this, and the government came in, seized it, and whatever's underground, that's where they're at right now, and probably, you know, expanded, and, you know, with their tunnel boring machines, and, you know, decided to go ahead and, you know, create a good-sized underground base. That's what my theory is, because that all of the excitement, all of the sightings are around that location.
Well,
and now it's starting.
Jeff, don't you think if they had an underground base there, they would have electronic sensors and listening devices all over that mountain and would know when you're up there?
Oh, no, because I'll tell you why. It's because my sources are telling me that this base has been up there since late 1940s, early 50s. Fresno, people don't care about UFOs in Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they mind them, you know, they keep to themselves. Okay. There was no need to ever do that. Because I feel that the houses surrounding these structures are all owned by the government, and they're pretty much like the watchful. The people are watching this area. They're messing with Justin, the guy who witnessed the craft, the triangle crash. They're messing with him on a constant basis. Poor guy.
What are they doing?
Oh God, they will go out and park on the. He lives like, it's sort of kind of a ranch with a long drive, a dirt road up to the main street. They would drive and park out in the front, and they would honk the horn. They would mess with them. They would drive up all the way up to the driveway up to his front door. They would sit there. They would follow him. Okay, they'll follow the guy. If he's going to the store, the liquor store, whatever, they'll follow him in white trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, an incident that happened to me about 3 weeks ago. I work for AT&T. Okay, I don't care what people, you know, I work for AT&T, And right before my shift ended, it was close to 5 o'clock, I was driving into the yard, and I noticed that I still had some more paperwork to do. So I pulled over near the airport. In front of the airport is right near our facilities for AT&T. And I pulled off on the side street, and I was on the computer, closing out a job. And all of a sudden, I saw this blue truck come down Dakota Avenue. For those people who are present, who are listening, it's right near those bunkers on Dakota and Chestnut, between Peach and Chestnut on Dakota.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll get the rest of that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeffrey Gonzalez, and he is the founder and director of the Sanger Paranormal Society. And we're talking about this pretty amazing find north of Fresno. So, Jeffrey, you were telling us about this blue truck that came down the road.
Yeah. I was in my AT&T van doing some paperwork on the computer, and all of a sudden this... Now, you have to understand where I was parked. It's right near the military base, and there are some bunkers on the other side of the main street where I was parked. And a lot of people are telling me that there is an underground facility underneath the Fresno Air Terminal that is about 4 floors deep. And I have 2 people have already told, or actually 3, that they've actually been down underneath and doing, subcontracting work. And there is something underneath the Fresno Air Terminal. And as I was parked there doing some paperwork, this blue truck comes down Dakota from the military installation, which is around the corner where they have the helicopters parked. And he sort of kind of like slammed on the brakes, backed up a little, and he sort of kind of made eye contact with me. And he drove right by me, made a U-E, and parked like about 7-8 cars length behind me. And I said, okay, maybe he's there because he wants to watch the airplane land, I guess. So I continued on with my work, and all of a sudden, a green Ford Explorer comes down Dakota, and he was moving awfully fast, and he hit the brakes, and he passes right by me, and he backs it up, makes eye contact with me, and I said, okay, what the heck is going on? He drives right by me. And I'm looking through my rear mirror, and he keeps going. And I said, okay, maybe he just missed an exit. But what happened is he went around the block, and he came down Dakota Avenue again on the opposite direction. And he parks across Dakota Avenue, and he's watching me. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And I go, I had a feeling, in the past that I thought I was being followed, and this pretty much confirms it. Now, how do they know I was there? The only way I can figure is I have an iPhone, and my GPS was probably on, and that's how they knew I was there.
And let me make a couple of statements here. First, about cell phones, folks. If you think that you turn your cell phone off and then they can't find you, you're wrong. You may turn off the part of the cell phone you use. The cell phone remains alive, active, and sending out DTMF pings.
Yep.
In other words, it's telling whoever is out there monitoring where that phone is. Another thing is this. Jeff, cockroaches hate light. And if you just put a camera in their face and make them famous on the internet, they have to back. They will back off because you're blowing their cover.
What do you think I did with those white vans I got last year in July?
Mm-hmm.
You know about those white vans, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I tick them off when that happened? Because again, I was, and at that point in time, I was still, discovering things, and they had no clue I was on them because again, I was in my AT&T van, and I got them. I actually got them suckers. But they're ticked at me now. I know they are. And they're
Yeah, well, they get over it.
But let me tell you what I did, Kevin. The green Ford Explorer that was parked across the street, I said, oh, hell no. I put it in drive, and I hit the gas, and I was going right at him because I wanted to get the license plate number. And the sucker took off, and he was going down Dakota Avenue like a bed out of hell. And I was trying to chase him, keep up with him, but I'm in my AT&T van. I can only go so fast. He went through a red light at Dakota and Peach Avenue and kept going east. And he must have been going 90, 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gone.
Yeah, well, they hate light. They hate cockroaches but, hate light.
You know what, Kevin? And I tell people that this stuff is actually happening to me, and they think I'm nuts. They mm-hmm. think I've fallen off the deep end, and I have no. They think I've lost it.
Well, those are people who still think they live in the land of the free.
They have no clue what's happening in Fresno. No freaking clue. And it's unbelievable that, you know, people need to open up their eyes because, you know, Fresno has been a hotspot for years and years and years, and nobody has bothered to do anything about it or just to investigate what the heck is going on until I show up. And now I'm finding all this stuff, you know, that's going on, and, you know, people think, you know, I'm totally out left field, and all the stuff that I find, people think I'm making it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these structures that you see here on the video, they think I made all that up. They think I went to Mexico or something and filmed part of it there and did, you know, all this kind of, I'm going, you got to be kidding me.
Well, I know that you didn't because we looked at it on Google Earth together,
yeah.
If you remember. So we know where that is, and it is north of Fresno. So, you know... And plus, like I said, you know, what mushrooms think makes no difference because it's not actual thinking. It's parasitic. You know, what cockroaches do makes no difference because all you have to do is turn the lights on and they run.
Yeah.
Listen, before I left Phoenix, we went through a period of time where every night at showtime, there would be a Black Hawk helicopter hovering right above the studio. No markings on it, just a black helicopter hovering right above the studio. And some of our listeners will remember where I said, folks, I don't know if you can hear it. It's very, very loud. It's right above us. And we had several nights of that. After I started broadcasting that they were up there, and I asked people that had, I said, look, if you're in the Phoenix area and you're anywhere near the studio and you got a video camera, let's get this documented. That was the last night they did it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
I carry a video camera wherever I go now.
Well, of course, since that was the last night they did it, it tells me they were listening to the show, and hey,
yeah.
I want listeners, so that's cool. That's cool. I'm glad they listen.
Yeah, and
but they do hate light. You put a camera in their face and make them famous, they're finished in their business.
Yeah. So no, they're aware of me now. I've been on the cell phone talking to witnesses of on UFOs because I know I'm also a state section director and an investigator for MUFON, and I've been on the phone talking to witnesses and where I will get cut off in mid-conversation. Or, because I have a 24-hour UFO hotline, I will be on the phone trying to get a report of where this thing is flying, and all of a sudden, click, and I'm looking at my phone, I'm going, I got all bars.
Yeah.
And then once I get the person back on, I go, okay, what happened? And I go, are you in a bad cell area? And he goes, no, I have all bars. You know, and I'm going, okay, well, I know what happened. You know, and then I start cussing that, you know, the guy out on the phone. But you know, it's they monitor me. And again, people think I'm totally crazy when I tell them that, you know, that this is. You know, there was something going on at the airport a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. There was all kinds of military equipment, again, near these bunkers at the airport. And I thought that was very weird because I've never seen that ever at the air terminal. So I go and I get my a camera, a digital camera, and I took some pictures of it, and I had my webmaster put it on my website that night. The next morning, when I drove by, because I was going to, leaving work, going to my first job, the place was taken down. There was not even a piece of toilet paper left on the ground. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Actually, I hit the brakes and I pulled over to the side and I got out and I'm going, where did all the hundreds of equipment go that was here last night? And again, because I posted it on my website that night, they were doing something that they didn't want the public to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I blew them and I got them.
Well, there's a whole lot of things being done by various parts of our government that they know for sure people don't want them to do.
Right.
There are parts and pieces of our government who know for sure that they are illegal, and yet they exist. And they don't wish to be made famous. They don't want attention
right.
drawn to them for that reason. And that's why I say when you put that camera in their face and make them famous, their career is over with that agency because the only way they can exist is in darkness.
Yep.
And I think it's great. If you can ruin a few of their careers, that's wonderful.
Well, I think what's happening now, though, is they're doing all their stuff during the night now.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the activities that I've seen during the day.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Gonzalez, and we are talking about some really, really strange stuff going on in the Fresno, California area, and particularly just north of Fresno. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And let me say again to our new family in the Philadelphia area and outlying areas, on WPAZ, welcome aboard. We're glad to be a part of your evening, and I'm glad you're here. All right, now, Jeffrey, I want to go back to these ruins for just a moment.
Yep.
Before we open up the telephone lines and invite the audience to participate. These ruins have the appearance of something Mayan. But at the same time, when we say that they have the appearance of something Mayan, a lot of those structures that we say are Mayan down in Central America and parts of South America, a lot of those structures, the Mayans told the Spanish conquistadors that they didn't build them, that they were built by someone else, and they just came in and found them deserted. So that would indicate then that it's a much, much older race than the Mayans.
That is a possibility. I mean, I know they're old. I'm not an archaeologist. I don't know anything about that type of stuff. But comparing them to what I have seen in Mexico City, I've been to the pyramids, and I have my buddy who's the producer has looked at it, and he's also he knows a lot about the pyramids, and right away he told me, you know what, that looks like that work that
mm-hmm.
you see in Guatemala and Peru and all that kind of stuff. Now, and another. Near that structure site, to the left of it, about 100, 150 yards, there is edges. Somebody drew large pictures on the floor, just like the Nazca lines in Peru, that can only be seen from the sky. And there's a couple of them out there. So you put that, and then you put these ancient structures, now it's it's starting to all make sense. Why would they, whoever they are, you know, sketch giant pictures of hawks and, you know, horses with two heads on it that can only be seen from the sky?
Good question. All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines for our audience. And ladies and gentlemen, here's how it works. The main number here in the telephone, the main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. In the USA and Canada, we have a toll-free number. And if you need to call me toll-free, you can. It is 888-223-4599. Now, if you can call me without it costing you long-distance charges, call me on the main number, 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you. You can call me at the main number, or because I don't have a toll-free number for you outside of the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message. And you do that by going to my website. Scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and on the right side of that, you will see the link that says flash message, all right? Please, if you're in the USA or Canada, use the telephone. We do not read messages that come from inside the USA or Canada, because I'll even pay for your telephone call if you need me to. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Jeffrey. How you doing, man?
Hi, Ryan. How's it going?
keep up the good fight, man. I talked to you a few times on Facebook. But, you know, these people that monitor you and monitor that are listening right now to Kevin Smith, they're stupid. You know, why sit and listen to the Kevin Smith Show when all it does is give Kevin high ratings? His viewers, he gets more audience, which is good.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it.
You. I just want to tell the people that are listening right now that you guys are stupid. What you're doing is not working. The public is not going away. And I just want to give it a little bit of suggestion for you there, Jeffrey.
Okay.
Maybe take one of these interviews, like one of your interviews on one of your radio shows, and put it in a video and put it on YouTube. And then so everybody can get the full story behind it. You know what I mean? Sort of like you know how, Kevin, how you did the video on YouTube about Dr. Filipov?
Yeah.
So that they can sit and listen to the whole story, because I don't think people know the whole story of what's going on. And just keep up a good fight, Jeffrey.
I will, man. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for the call.
You know, I'm gonna break some tonight on the Kevin Smith Show.
Good.
Did you get that link of the trailer that I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. For those who don't know, that I sent Kevin a link of a trailer. And what the trailer is, it's a video trailer. I've been trying, with all the stuff happening in Fresno, and I'm talking UFOs, you know, Bigfoot and ghosts. I mean, there's just so much paranormal stuff going on here in Fresno. It's crazy. And it's a lot of everything that I thought, you know what, maybe I can get on TV someplace and show people exactly what's going on. So for about a year now, I've been working on the concept of a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And we put a trailer together, and I have a producer here in Fresno. He put the trailer together, and the Fox Network WB out of Fresno took interest, and they just ordered a pilot from us. So now, you know, we're going to be actually filming next week on the pilot episode of our reality show. The general manager took very, very high interest, only because of all the exposure And everybody knows who we are now down here in the Central Valley. I mean, we're all over the place. Mm-hmm. With all these UFO sightings, you know, I'm on the news, you know, Facebook, website, people are calling me on my 24-hour hotline. I got Fresno Police Department calling me on my 24-hour hotline, okay? So word gets around, and I guess, you know, when I sent him, an email explaining what we were trying to do, he said, heck yeah, I want a pilot. So we're going to be filming. And if he likes the pilot, you know, he's going to put it on the on TV down here. And we're talking the Fox Network and the WB. So we're not talking like History Channel or anything like that. So if it goes as well as I hope it will, I'm hoping that they're going to order more episodes and they'll put it out there national eventually. You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to try to test market, you know, the show. But I'm going to be using this show to basically expose what's going on in Fresno.
And
well,
that's
I know
good.
They're listening. They're probably right now just probably all just fainted.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is going to break open everything.
And well, especially if you get the TV cameras in these guys' faces.
Oh, yeah.
That are doing the surveillance and put them on national TV.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And you know, and yeah, I've got so many episodes that I want to shoot right now. It's crazy, you know. But this is going to be a way of exposing what's happening in Fresno.
So. Well, man, I think I took a look at the trailer. It looks great, and I hope this turns out to be just super hot for you.
I do too. And for all those people who want to look at the trailer, it's on YouTube. I'm going to go ahead and give it up for the first time today. It's just type in Sanger Paranormal Society Episode 1. Sanger Paranormal Society Episode 1. And it's a very small trailer. It's only like two minutes and 30 seconds. But this one is on an investigation of a ghost that we did in Sanger at the newspaper building. But it's you know, it's done pretty well. And mm-hmm. Let me tell you the concept that we're going to be using. We have a magician who is part of the team, and they're the debunking team, basically. So we're going to go out, and we're going to gather the evidence, whatever we can, if, you know, UFO, video, picture, whatever. And then the debunking team, who is a magician, his name is Dexter Morgan. He was a consultant on the Chris Angel show for 2 years. And he is going to take what we have and try to debunk it. You know, he is like the biggest skeptic that you will ever meet. So it's going to be like paranormal versus Mythbusters in a way.
Mm.
So, you know, he's going to try to debunk it. And you know,
is he actually a skeptic, or can he read?
Can he say that again?
That was an insult.
Oh.
There's no such thing as a skeptic who can read.
Okay, he doesn't believe in the paranormal, period.
Okay, that's because he is not well-informed and hasn't read, you see.
He thinks I'm a joke, but
mm-hmm.
he's a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and, you know, he came into the picture about a year and a half ago just wanting to ask some questions on ghost sightings and all that to use in his show on stage. But no, he thinks paranormal is a joke. He doesn't believe in any of it,
mm-hmm.
which is all going to make the best for TV, because you know him and I are going to bump heads.
That will be good. That will be good. But I'll tell you what will ruin him: never let him get near books. If he starts reading evidence, actual evidence, it'll ruin him. All right, let's go to the telephone.
My job is to make him look like, you know, just, you know, it, basically, you know, I know we're going to bump heads, and after, you know, the show, we're going to, you know, we're still going to be friends, but. You know, it's going to be like this. You know, let's say we do, you know, get a good video of a UFO, whatever it is, and he debunks it using $40,000, $60,000 worth of equipment. Well, so you're going to tell me that this witness who shot this video went out and spent that much money just to, you know, get his 15 seconds of frame, you know?
Yeah, it's unreasonable. Okay, look, Jeff, we got to go to the telephone, man.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Gary in Nebraska.
Hello, Gary.
You know, I don't have a lot I can contribute, but I thought Jeff should know that two people I would trust for information would be Wayne May and Frank Joseph at ancientamerican.com. They study pre-Columbian America, and they got a heck of a grip on the stuff, so perhaps you could direct them to them.
Okay, did you catch that, Jeff?
Well,
Jeff,
I just know that Frank Joseph and Wayne May are excellent, excellent people to work with, and they probably can give you some very good people to contact in regards to what you're working on. And boy, it is intriguing. Thanks so much for what you're doing out there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Gary. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I thought we lost you there, Jeff. We weren't hearing you.
No, I'm here. No. I was contacting Giorgio.
Uh-huh, Giorgio Tsoukalos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get a hold of him.
I have a flash message from the Netherlands. This is from Anthony in the Netherlands. And he says that he wants me to tell you, please keep all of this away from the authorities this time. Don't take anybody out there and show them where it is.
Oh, no.
And just keep this only with people capable of doing the examinations and capable of keeping their mouths shut.
Absolutely.
And he says, we don't need to give the thieves everything on a silver platter.
No. And that's the reason why I haven't. I mean, I have, like I said, I have people in the higher-ups who want me to take them to this spot. And I said, no. I'm not going to until I find out exactly what's going on over there. There's no way I'm going to give this up.
Mm-hmm. Well, this video is pretty amazing. It's amazing all by itself, but there's something about this video that is both amazing and irritating. And it is that someone has gone out there and put these mannequins out there.
Yeah.
They obviously know the place is there.
Yes.
And they're turning it into a joke.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's irritating.
It could be it could be the owner who's doing that, or it could be the government who are putting that stuff out there to make people think that it's from this century.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, there are people out there who will believe anything, and they're going to do anything in their power to make people think that that's not old. What you're looking at is not old.
All right, now do you know who the owner is?
The paperwork has four names on there.
Mm-hmm.
Four last names, and again, that can mean absolutely nothing. Paperwork is paperwork. It could be made up.
Well, are these names of people that are that do live right there in the area?
No, the land itself that the structures are on, I believe no, because we did pull up records around the area, and the names do not even come close. So these names we just have no clue who
mm-hmm.
these last names are, and who they are. And again, they could be just made up names.
Do you have any intention of going back to this area?
Heck yeah.
What is it that you still hope to accomplish there?
We want to dig out more of the Cape. And they're probably listening to me right now, so I would not be surprised that the next time we go out there, that cave is going to be completely covered.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, then I will take video and I will send it to you ASAP and go, look, they were listening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't. This wouldn't surprise me. The number of U.S. government computers logged on every night, just the number of government computers, is a bigger audience than most internet radio stations have. There's so many of them that they qualify as one of the cities in my top 25 cities. Just the government computers qualify as one of the top 25 cities.
Wow.
So it wouldn't surprise me. Now, and by the way, I want to say again, I've said before, I appreciate all you government folks that are tapped in and listening tonight. Thank you very much. It adds to my numbers. You help make me what I am. Thank you. But look, this cave that's back in there, is there any kind of art or carvings or anything on those walls
not
on the inside?
Not that I could have seen off the top of it. A lot of it is buried. The entrance is fully involved with dirt. There's just no way. If there is, then it's buried in dirt. But I didn't see any that, you know, I can stick, like I said, I can only stick my arms and my head about a foot in, and I didn't see anything like that at all.
How tall is this cave? How far is it up to from the ceiling to the floor?
Well, you have to remember that it looked like somebody physically went in and put dirt in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 5 feet clearance, but I cannot get my body in there, though. It's the only problem to get in there,
mm-hmm.
because the hole is still small, and there's a big boulder that is right there in the entrance that we tried to get it out with our bare hands, but it's too big. So we're going to probably have to take like a claw with heavy rope or chain and see if we can drag it out.
Do you remember when you and I did the show together and I was using the still shots from your night video shots and I brightened them so that we could see the features up there? Do you remember me pointing out that, you know, that looks like a cave entrance right there?
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
Is that where it is?
No, not even close. It's it's way below that.
Mm-hmm.
It's below the crash site. Actually, it's in a residential area, Kevin.
Mm.
These structures are in a residential area. That's what makes all this very weird, because it's a little hilly in where all these houses are at, but there are 5, 6, 7, 8 houses surrounding this structures.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked to any of those people to ask them what they know about it?
No, I haven't. I haven't mm-hmm. done that. No. I mean, I've been secretly, you know, going to the location without anybody knowing that I've been doing this, but I just don't want to let them know that. Well, now they know, I'm pretty sure, but, you know, I didn't want to give them any more than I needed to. I wanted to see if I can find out what was going on there. And my last resort is probably going to have to go knock on some doors and say, hey, you know, what is that? You know, can we go on there and check it out? I mean, you know, if I maybe play stupid and say, hey, you know, we're college kids and, you know, we want to take some, you know, we noticed that while we were jogging and we want to go and take some pictures, or, you know, I don't know. I'll have to make up some stories and see if we can get in there and find out what it is and ask some questions.
You're aware of the theory, the population theory of the Americas, the theory that says that many, 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 many thousands of years ago, there was a land bridge between Alaska and Siberia, and that our ancestors came across that land bridge. Well, now, that land bridge does exist. It's underwater now, but there are satellite photos of it. But they say, you know, they came across that land bridge, and then they just began to spread down through America and eventually to South America, and that's how the... That's how this hemisphere got populated. Well, you would expect that as the population came, if that happened, as they came across that land bridge and began to spread southward, that the first big population centers would be in the north, and the first cities would be in the north as they spread southward.
Right.
The first places that would be urbanized, if you will, would be in the north. And yet that isn't what we have. The oldest cities in the Americas are in the south. And they are big, grand, magnificent cities. The people said that they inhabited what was already built there. It is just possible, isn't it?
Yeah, that
these magnificent structures were built by people who existed before the so-called flood.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, our producer, Eddie, is, like I said, he's really into the pyramids, and he even says that, you know, these things were way before the flood. Way before. And, you know, what people think by reading these, you know, the science is all that is wrong. Everything is wrong. So, and that's what they're trying to keep hidden, I think.
Yeah, they certainly want to keep it hidden that they've been lying to us. We'll be back, folks, right after this break, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jeff Gonzalez, the director of the Sanger Paranormal Society. The telephone number, if you have a question or comment for Jeff, is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. And if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call the main number, or you can use our flash message feature on the website by going to kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and then you can look to the right of that, and you'll see the link that says flash message. Jeff, we were talking about they don't want us to know they've been wrong all along, and that's true. I mean, there's a tremendous, tremendous industry in peddling bogus history and bogus archaeology.
Right.
They're making tons of money off of textbooks and college courses, and there's so many people with PhDs in this stuff that if it were proven that they were wrong, it would prove that they, you know, were, you know, highly certified peddlers of bogus stuff.
Well, not only that, but I think it also has to do with with the religion part of it. I think once that they let finally tell the people that, okay, we're talking, there were people here way before, you know, the birth of Christ, and, you know, the Bible, and then, you know, that's basically they're going to say, well, you know, the Bible was put here to keep the masses in line. You know, I have a feeling, my theory is that, you know, we were put here by the Star People, and, you know, the religion aspect of it was just to keep the people, the masses, in line.
Yeah, but, you know, there are people that read the Bible, and then there are religious people.
Right.
Religious people do have something to lose because religion is fiction. Religion, the Bible is not religion. Religion is stuff that's built up by people, and they use the Bible to do it. But all religion is based on theology. Theology, all of it, 100% of it, is man-made. But then you have the Bible and what it says.
Right.
Where you say you think we were put here by Star People, the Bible would not... That doesn't fly in the face of anything the Bible actually says. Because, you know, the Bible says that we were created by, and it uses the term, the Lord God.
Right.
Okay, well, is he from here?
Exactly.
Well, he's not from here. If he's from here, he's one of us. He's not from here.
He's not from here.
Therefore, he is extraterrestrial.
Exactly.
So, you know, it doesn't fly in the face of what it actually says. It flies in the face of what some preachers say. It flies in the face of what some theologians say. But, hey, you know, they're bogus anyway.
Right.
Those guys are. Okay, but look, here's another thing. Anybody that reads the Bible has to, if they're a thinking person, they have to understand that this thing called Genesis was not written on the first day that things started happening. It wasn't written until the time of Moses. Okay, that is several thousands of years after the beginning. Many thousands of years after the beginning. And it is talking about, in Genesis, ancient history and peoples that populated the earth way back in that time. At the time when Moses wrote it, what he was writing about was extremely ancient to him. And so, of course there were people, and of course there were cities. It says so, even in Genesis. Cain killed his brother. As a result, he had to go wandering the earth, and he was not allowed to stay with Adam and Eve. And he says an interesting thing, Jeff. It's recorded in Genesis. Now, whether people think this is true or not, that's a different thing, but we are talking about what it says. And he says to God, whoa, I don't want to have to go wander the earth, because everyone who finds me will want to kill me. If there was only Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, and he killed Abel, now there's only Adam, Eve, and Cain, who's he talking about?
Who's he talking about?
And then he goes out and he finds a wife. Whoa, how did that happen?
Where did that come
from? And then he does what? He builds a city. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... And way back at that time, it's very likely that we're talking about the period of time when all of the continents were together. In what we call Pangaea, before the continents broke apart. And so, as population spread, obviously you would have had people in cities and all kinds of towns and villages and stuff scattered all throughout the earth that then broke apart in pieces. And so then you would have remnants of that.
Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
And
by the way, did you know the continents are still splitting? Africa is splitting open now.
Yeah. It's,
Africa is splitting into two continents as we speak.
I believe it's the big secret, and eventually here, I'm thinking. Pretty soon, that big secret is going to basically be no more secret. You know, now how are they going to do that? How are the people going to handle that? That's another question.
Well, you know, it boggles my mind. I have to admit, it boggles my mind to even imagine how the truth could boggle someone's mind. But it will, because there are people who are emotionally attached to fiction.
Yeah.
And various forms of it. Now, when you were up there videotaping these ruins, did you walk inside of any of these?
There really is no inside. It's just the outer part. I mean, they're actually, you know, the building, there's no entrances to any of this stuff. If there is, I didn't see any, and it's probably still buried.
Well, your video starts out with what looks like a stone doorway.
Okay, yeah. Now, all that is, what I'm thinking is, that to me, that looked like a jail. And the reason why I said that is because there are wrought iron, not wrought iron, but steel hinges on it, on both ends. Now, the brick, obviously, you know, for that's not old. That's this century. I'm thinking that when they were mining for minerals, for copper, for whatever, you know, they were mining, is they built this to put the bad guys in it who were trying, maybe after they found, you know, I don't know, gold or copper, maybe they needed to build a jail somewhere, and that's where they built it, right there. But it's just an open room, no ceiling, you know, and that's the brick wall on there. And the back side is also another brick wall. But, it, you know, it, that's the only, really the only building that you can enter. All the other are solid stone monuments. They're just, you know, enclosed. There's no entrances to any of this.
All right, we see sitting on top of that wall a long rectangular building.
Yes.
What is that?
I don't know. It's a long rectangular building.
Did you go inside it?
No, there's no there's no doors, no entrance. It's just a block wall. That's all that is.
So it's a rectangular building with no entrances.
No entrances.
No windows.
Nothing.
Exactly. Now that's curious.
Yeah, I mean.
Does it appear to be as old as the wall?
What's that?
Mm-hmm. Does it appear to be as old as the wall?
I think it is. I think it is. Mm-hmm. There's a part of the video where there is a pit in that video.
Mm-hmm.
That
it's a square pit.
Yes. Okay. See, this is where my theory comes into play, where that pit is on top of the buried wall. So what I'm thinking is that If we were to get a scraper, big bulldozer or something like that, and start scraping all that dirt, you would hit bottom structure of that wall that's buried. And that pit is could be an entrance down below into the structure. But for some reason, they decided to put tree branches in there. Why? To cover up whatever is in there.
It's a little bit curious, too. There's one of those rusty-looking mannequins standing beside that pit and appears to be pointing into it.
Really? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. it looks like it just appears that he's pointing into that pit. And it makes you wonder if whoever put that out there sort of just wanted to play a little game and say, yeah, that one's important.
Huh. I'm going to have to go back. Matter of fact, I'm going to go look at it right now. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then one of these mannequins looks like he's standing beside an old-style bathtub.
Yes, with a lion in it.
With a lion.
It's a lion's head, I think. It's what it looks like to me. When I was there, I got up close, and it looked like a lion's head. Like it was given it a bath.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, why would somebody put these there? I don't know. You know, is it part of a cult? And again, that's what it looked like to me. I don't know. Watchers of the area? I don't know.
All right, we've got a flash message from Jeff in Australia, and he says he was wondering about the Army equipment that vanished from the military base overnight. He's talking about where you videotaped and you went back the next morning. He says, do you reckon that this area is a portal area along the ley lines that Walter Bosley investigates? Perhaps they were just transported somewhere during the night.
No, I think the military physically took it down that night. I think after they saw the photos on my website, they spent the whole night and tore it all down. But now since you're mentioning about portals and the whole nine yards, I believe we have a couple of those here in Fresno. I really do. Where the white vans were captured in front of that house somewhere east of Fresno. there seems to be a lot of black helicopter flying around that location. And you have to understand, this is residential, well, not residential, country homes, but there's a lot of trees, wood, you know, orchards, stuff like that over there. And for some reason, the black helicopters love to cruise around and circle this area, and there is nothing out there, nothing military at all. Mm-hmm. And the witnesses to that craft that that flew over, you know, Shaw Avenue that we got on video, says that they've seen these black helicopters land over there. Again, you know, what... Military helicopters are landing in locations of Fresno where they should not be landing.
All right. We have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Gonzalez, the founder and director of the Sanger Paranormal Society in Fresno. Jeff, this pit you think is an entrance into a structure that is yet below the ground. Is that right?
Yes, right. I mean, look at the pit. For those who are watching the video, go watch the video and look at the pit. How precise, how square, how perfect that thing is. Okay, you know, that took a long time to build, you know, and I just, when we looked into it, and when we looked inside, it seemed to go down a very long ways.
It's not full of dirt?
No, it isn't. It's full of tree branches, of all things. Now, again, could they be using that for a fire pit of some type? And again, that goes with my thinking of, are they using this for satanic cults, you know, during, you know, the evenings? I don't know, you know.
Well, did you see any signs that these tree branches had ever been lit on fire?
No, they were fairly, I don't want to say fairly new, but I didn't see any burn marks at all, mm-hmm. to be honest. No, I didn't. So
I'm very curious about that structure that's setting up on the on top of the wall, the rectangular building that has no windows and no doors.
Nothing. It's just a big old wall.
Well, obviously.
I don't know.
Well, now, when you say it's a big wall, I mean, is it a wall or is it a building?
No. It's a structure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say a wall. It's a block. It's about 56 feet long, and about 6 feet wide and about 10 feet high, I guess. But it looks like a big brick. But no, there's nothing to it. It's just a big block.
Is it one single block?
One single block, yeah.
Okay, so it's not a building then that has a room inside.
No, it's just a block.
Mm-hmm.
But why would somebody build a block? I don't know.
It's one piece.
One piece.
56 feet long.
Yeah.
That is a megalithic stone, my friend. That is huge.
Yeah, but what's underneath it, that's what I'm like. You know, it's buried, you know, and, you know, if you look at the buried structure that was uncovered, you can see where, you know, you're going along the edge of the wall or the structure, and all of a sudden it comes up about 6 inches and then continues on. Like, why would they do that? You know, it looks like this was all planned out. Very, you know, it just didn't, they didn't build this overnight. Mm-hmm. Okay, this took a lot of engineering, a lot of time, and they had to have brought in these rocks from a long ways, because the stuff is just not laying around there.
Well, not only would they have to bring it in from a long ways, one must wonder, how did they haul a 56-foot by 6-foot by 10-foot block? How did they even haul it 10 feet?
Right.
And then how did they put it up on top of this wall?
That's rather amazing. Maybe I misunderstood you. That wall is okay. That block is not one solid piece. Okay, it was built with stones and rocks and stuff, but it was built square. No, it's not.
I got
one
you.
Solid
so
piece.
It's okay. So it's all right. So it is constructed of smaller rocks.
Yes. But for what purpose? It's just one big old 56 long, block of put together with stones.
Uh-huh.
But the edges are so perfect, Kevin. It's like, somebody took the time to do that, but why?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, like I said, I don't think it's from this century or the 1700s or 1800s, because there was no reason to build that.
Do you know the name of the mining company that was mining copper there?
No, I don't.
I wonder if that mining company, whether it exists today or doesn't exist today, I wonder whether any of the records still exist.
So,
maybe some of their engineering records would give you a clue as to what's underground there.
If they're going to let me look at that stuff.
Oh, I don't know. They might. There are ways.
I know. Yeah, I know. I can sure find out, who was mining out there, when, and see if they had that on records anywhere. That would be interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, I would think that the mining company would have, there would be some records somewhere. Of course, the first thing would be to identify the name of the company and who was in charge, and then start tracking those people down and tracking that company down. But if you found the name of the company, there would surely be some mention of them in old newspapers.
True.
But it may or may not be, interesting for your research, but you don't know till you find it. But
right.
There would surely be something out there. Let's take our final telephone call. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Maybe if I push the right button. There we go. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, what I was wondering, has he gone and gotten a surveyor's map of the topography of that area and tried to see what section of land that is to use to find these records?
Yes, the real estate agent who pulled the records up, so far that's all we've done. The recent records assessments that were done last year actually on the property. There's a lot of mining that was done out north of Fresno. A lot of it is documented, and you can pull all that stuff up on the internet and find out where the caves are at and all that kind of stuff. But none of this stuff is documented, period. I've looked. I've looked everywhere. So,
all right. Mike, thank you for the call. I wish we had more time, but we don't. We're racing toward the end of the show, but it's a good point. So you have looked at the topographical maps, though, right?
Right.
And do they show anything interesting?
Nothing. This stuff is not even there. This stuff is not even supposed to be where it's at. I mean, if Fresno State University doesn't know this thing, and I, like I said, I called the archaeologist department at Fresno State University, and no clue. They didn't even know this stuff was out there.
Well, I'll tell you, I think you're doing a very important and very interesting work, and I appreciate you coming and sharing it with us tonight. And I hope you'll keep us posted.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, next time good piece of info that we come up with, I definitely will let you know about it.
Outstanding. And look, you guys be careful out there.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are telling me I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you're smart enough to know what you need to do, and just be careful out there. Stay on the telephone line with me for a moment, if you will. That's it, folks. That's a wrap for this evening, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been especially interesting and important. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.